Blog Talk Radio.
Rob Show. Tonight we're going to have another interesting conversation with AC. Pretty sure you'll find it enlightening. Sometimes it's pretty much a lot of things to think about. That's all. Excuse me. Saw something. I wonder if Rodney King had passed. And I think that was at that time during the riot, I think that was an opportunity lost. I think that was something that we could have really capitalized on the aftermath. And that's just one of many things that we could have really jumped on that could have changed our situation around. When does it stop? When do you go ahead and pay attention to what's going on around you? Do something about it. Are we ever going to do something about it? Father. AC, how you doing?
Oh, excuse me. Hanging in there, Brother Rob. Hanging in there, Chef. And yourself?
I'm making it.
Well, truly outstanding Father's Day weekend, if I do say so myself. Had a great time all around. A lot of poignant situations occurred, you know, on the Day of the Fathers and so forth and so on, so. That was kind of pleasing. And all in all, after our broadcast last week, I was hoping that I'd possibly hear from you you know, step in on somebody else's show, like the brother Drew. I was, you know, hoping we might get a chance to speak with him, because we really didn't get a chance to get his opinions on our last show. I mean, it was a crowded show, and obviously, you know, we occupied the time, I consider, quite well. But, you know, brother Drew has a philosophy, has a point of view that I found quite interesting since the first time I saw him. So, yeah, it's always nice to hear from the brother. But brother Pee Wee and the brother from St. Louis, I don't want to mispronounce his name, which is why, I mean, because, you know, I don't want him to think that I harbor any disrespect towards the brother whatsoever. You know, and speaking of which, let me say now that I've received some of the critiques from the last week's show. So I promise you, I'll try not to commandeer your show this week. try a little bit, it says, I will be slow to speak and quick to listen. So
I enjoyed it. But
I'm glad you did. I had a great time too. I mean, you know, dueling philosophies is something that I run towards, not away from. So I enjoyed it too.
And you know, what you think about, you know, my opening statements?
In all honesty, I'd have to agree. You know, but I don't want to step on the brother's toes. You know, while he's not here, the brother from St. Louis, but I think that situation was overcome by economic concerns as opposed to quote unquote the struggle. You know, I mean, you know, people saw the opportunity they saw was to feather their nest as opposed to improving their situation. You know, I don't. Okay. I understand. Well, see, first of all, I recognize that this wasn't going to be the situation everyone that's downtrodden would hope for, you know, a situation that would end in some changes. I mean, you could basically predict what was going to go on. You're going to have a lot of problems. L.A. is L.A., especially Watts, is always a hot area because the same thing has been going on over and over again in that area. So if a situation comes about in L.A., there are going to be problems in Watts, rightfully so, let me say. There are going to be problems in Watts, but after the problems have been resolved, after some brothers have gone to jail, some of them for extended periods of time, the problem is still going to exist. So, you know, this is an opportunity as we speak on the phone right now, as we speak on the radio right now, to resolve the issues, if you will, that affect this nation and this world in general and this nation in particular. But you know, every opportunity is not grasped. Hopefully, at some point, one will be. So, but I agree with you about the statement. It was an opportunity lost, and there have been many more before and since the Rodney King situation.
Right. That's what I've been looking at more than recently, and it's like. You know, a lot of stuff didn't happen. Just this alone, it could have really affected tomorrow in a positive way. Those things have been swept under the rug, also, man. So, you know, I'm baffled at what we're gonna do next, man. And I got a little plan, but you know, I don't see a lot of people jumping on it. I was at a festival this weekend, man.
Okay.
And it's people over there that seem like they're just too afraid. It's almost like they don't want to get involved, you know. And then when you see brothers and sisters asking for help, you know, they want to overlook that, man. You know, you can't forget that could be you. And that's what I mean. These opportunities lost. Is that, you know, we could change a whole lot of them situations around if we go ahead and basically go ahead and come together and have some kind of dialogue or make some demands. Maybe both.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting, man. It's interesting. But
well,
I'm giving up, though.
Right. No. You can't succumb. You can't give up because, I mean, there's just entirely too much at stake. And see, I'm just not, you know, okay, from my perspective, which is all I got for you, from my perspective, okay, to give up on the quote-unquote struggle is to give up on humanity. I mean, this isn't an issue about the downtrodden. Do you know, okay, think about it. What happens if the downtrodden are released from, you know, from their situation? If they are allowed to thrive and you know, to exist harmoniously in this situation that we call the world right now. What happens if they are allowed to be a part of this situation? Are you going to suggest to me that the people who now control this situation wouldn't benefit from that? That's insanity. That's insanity.
Well, you know, they benefited more if it's less of them at the top. So that's why they help them.
Say that again, brother. Say that again, Chef. Say that again.
Okay. They want to keep the situation the same. Okay. Basically, you know, that's why, you know, that's why so few of them at the top and so many at the bottom. They benefit by having less people at the top and keeping things the way they are.
Oh yeah, well, there's a certain okay.
Let me say something. Okay. If they made it a little bit, you know, if they stepped out of the way or let it be a level playing field, that's a threat to them at the top. They won't no longer control you at the, you know, be able to control you at the bottom.
Well, see, I think that's the fallacy in the argument there. It's not a threat to them at the top. I mean, you know, the people that you're talking, okay, to go along with what the brother from St. Louis was speaking about yesterday. We're talking.
Oh, hold on. He's on the line, by the way. Brother Pianchi?
Okay.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, everything is cool. You know, I was listening to what you was talking about. Everybody can't be on the top. The thing is you don't want to be on the bottom. You know, one of my favorite sayings, do unto the others before they can do unto you. I always remember that. And in the business I was in, we would we would play with numbers to thwart our competitors. And if they wanted a job, an office building real bad, we could either make them leave money on the table, what we call. In other words, they were going to have to get lower than us, or we would just highball and let them have it. So, you know, that's needed. The thing is that you have to compile your cartel of people, and by you doing so, has to be duplicated many times over, and you have to compete with those on the top. They can be defeated, and really, Chef Rob, now is the best time that I've seen in a long time for blacks and black African-American people to start making their move. It's not for everybody, but those who have the talent, the will to do so, need to make their move. And it's going to happen whether we want it to or not, by the way.
Brother AC, how you feel about that?
Well, at the rate that that the brother is speaking about, there's also something else that's going to happen, whether we want to or whether we want it to or not. You know. And another thing, let me start off by saying, your favorite saying is a direct corruption of the golden rule. Now, I mean, the golden rule, you're saying it's for the benefit of you and your ilk. The golden rule was for the benefit of everybody. And see, the policies that you espouse at this moment are just like your corruption of the golden rule. It's for the benefit of you and your ilk, as opposed to the benefit of everybody. Now, see, I mean, and the thing, the real crazy thing about it is, if this system that you suggest that you love so much took everybody into account, put everybody into the game, I mean, it would benefit a thousandfold at least. You have more people playing the game. There will be more people for you to lowball or highball or whatever it is that you wanted to do. There would be less people complaining about what's going on. I mean, you know, that's one thing I thought about after my conversation with you last week. I mean, because the only thing that I was espousing at the point in time was the complete corruption of the system, and that's not necessary. I'm willing to compromise. Put everybody in the game. And see, that'll be more people for you to use, more people for you to, using your word, exploit, you know, and I'll take the positive definition of that, which is to use, more people to use, okay, to use, but see, you want to use them to your benefit. Why not use them to your benefit and their benefit? That way they won't be pissing and moaning and whining and complaining, because they'll be part of the game too. And I guarantee, your economy is in a can't lose situation. The only thing that is going to bring your economy down is the fact that it excludes so many people, and those people are going to get upset. You know, and that's something that is destined to happen. Your economy is shrinking, but I'm not talking about the economy shrinking. The size of the economy stays the same. The only thing that's shrinking are the people that control it, the people that are benefiting from it. That's the only thing that's shrinking. So that aspect of the communist economy is going to shrink. And even, and you know, every time I hear your politicians who were doing it a lot during the Republican campaign for their presidential nominee, they were talking about the French Revolution. Well, obviously they don't know what happened during the French Revolution. What happened during the French Revolution is the people on the top started getting whacked. See, and so now I don't want that to happen. Let's use your economy. But like I said, your economy is in a can't lose situation, because you benefit when people make money, and you benefit when countries like this and Greece and every other country around here is operating at a deficit. You know, deficit makes money for your economy. As a matter of fact, deficits make money for your economy at a greater rate than a situation where the economy is profiting. When this country was operating at a surplus during the 90s, your people the people that you look up to made money. And now that the situation is in the toilet, those people are making more money. So why don't you just make and if you involved everyone else, they would even make even more money. So
hold on, let Pianki respond.
It's the market. Markets makes economy. Your market is people that need something that you can provide. Blacks should control their own market. Everybody in black community and in black society cannot be business people. It ain't going to happen. It wasn't designed to be that way. But you have a market within a black and African-American community that black folks do not control today, and that is ludicrous, plain and simple, ludicrous. Yes, you should do unto others before they do unto you. And let me show you how I do that. I don't believe in Jesus and don't believe in God, but I will give a person that's hungry food or money to buy food. That's what I call doing unto them before they have to do unto me. So if I'm not hungry, they never will have to feed me, but I can always feed them. We look at things from an emotional standpoint, and we go completely, you know, gets excited over the things that we hear without giving it any critical thought. But the blacks need to. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something else, Chef Rob. We talked before. These things are already going on. You got young people who are talking about it constantly. You hear it in the public. You hear it on shows. There's forums being held at convention centers for black expos and so forth. You know, the last black expo they had here in this city, they must have had like three or four forums on businesses that went on for several days that was hosted by young people. So it's going to happen, as I said, whether we want it or not, and it's a good thing. For the system that we have known here to fall and break up is a very, very good thing. Now permits those who never had opportunity to pick up pieces and be able to do something with them.
All right.
So do you think this system is going to fall with a whimper or with a roar? Of course, that was a rhetorical question. You know this system is going to fall with a roar. And when systems fall with a roar, people get hurt. So, I mean, it amazes me that you can sit up there and say that it's a good thing for this system to fall. You know, not only are young black youth getting together and doing the things that you're talking about, positive, well, what you would consider positive things. See, because like I said,
let me ask you a question real quick. Let me ask both you brothers a question. Let's see. What? Okay, so we disagree on this system here. So what system do you think would work in to our benefit? Okay, what's the direction? Give me a slight hint or a little bit of a plan. You feel might work. AC, I want to start with you.
Okay. Look, I'll deal with the economic system as it stands today. Really. Okay, I'll deal with the system as it stands today. You know, because, okay, one of the things that I tried to do since I last spoke to the brother, I tried to find out, you know, exactly how much the estimated worth of the United States. Amazing that with all of this computer knowledge and stuff, I Googled, Yahooed, did every possible thing that I could come up with. And the best I could come up with is this system is worth about $49 trillion. But that was a number that dates back to 2008. And even the computer, when I said it, that's a very hard thing to figure out. But one thing that this the computer did state was that the United States has an unlimited credit card. Unlimited credit card. Which means they can charge from here to now on because the creditors know, number one, that at some point in time, if they wanted to, I mean, okay, we're $49 trillion. The deficit, what we owe, $15 trillion. Do the math.
Wait, hold on.
And we were worth what?
Hold on. You say we. How do I owe that?
How do you owe
what
that?
What did I do with
No.
I didn't have nothing to do.
In all honesty, okay, you owe that by being a United States citizen. And this is what your politicians are telling you. Not only do you owe that, but grandchildren that you have yet to have born will owe that. And the fact of the matter is, okay, by my math, okay, you're worth, okay.
Hold on. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
If I could interject real quick.
Let me say this. It's not from what you said for me. It's still not beneficial for me to totally be a U.S. citizen, just to have that paper, but not even being here because I see other people going here and they pack up and leave. That debt ain't their problem. That debt ain't my problem. I feel that's something else these people created. That's something they need to go ahead and fix. Had nothing to do with that.
They're beating you over the head with that debt every day.
Well, it is.
Chip Rock. People that you are concerned about, it might not be your problem directly, but
directly.
People that you are concerned, yeah, it might not directly be your problem. But people, they are using this concept of the country's debt to cut people off of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps, whatever. And don't tell me that there are members of your family that you that
wait a minute. Hold on. Hey, Brother Pianchi, your mic is echoing, man.
I'm sorry.
You got it. Okay.
Brother Pianchi wanted to say something. Feel free.
I'm not monopolizing
conversations today.
What I want to say is that total national assets of the United States is about $90 trillion. And that was...
That's even worse.
Well, that's assets. That's not the... That's in the green, which would make every... per citizen, it would be about $286,831. Unfunded liabilities, that means things like Social Security, prescription drugs liability, and Medicare, and something that you are paying into and you expect to receive at some point in time in the future is $119 trillion per taxpayer. $119 trillion is the total U.S. unfunded liabilities. Per taxpayer, that would equate to a little bit over $1 million per. So
now,
excuse
me, Brother Pianchi, saying 119 trillion.
Yeah,
that has to be wrong.
That's unfunded liabilities. Unfunded liabilities.
Not 119 trillion, no way.
Oh, sure it is. That's
no,
total.
No way. I refute that. I mean, I dispute that. No way that this country owes anybody $119 trillion.
Did you hear what I said it was?
Yeah, unfunded liability. I heard what you said. Believe me, I listened to you. Did you listen to me?
Do the math. Medicare liability.
Yeah, let's do the math. $119 trillion.
AC, why is it that you do the typical thing that they always blame black men for. It's being so angry.
First of all, I'm not angry.
Okay,
I mean,
hold on.
That decided that I'm angry.
I've done quite well
in your system.
Hold on.
Whatever the system was and permitted me to retire as a multimillionaire at the age of 40.
Uh-huh. And you're talking about feeding people, right?
I do feed people.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Listen here, Chef Rob, my explanation to you, and I can show you these numbers. You have Medicare liabilities, $82 trillion, $791 billion. You got prescription drugs at $21 trillion. And you got Social Security liability at $16 trillion. You add all that up, it comes to like $119 trillion of unfunded liabilities that the United States government owe at some point in time in the future. And based on the number of people in this country, the number of taxpayers, that is supposed to be divided amongst all the taxes. Because really, those particular items that make up this unfunded liability, Medicare liability, that comes out of the Social Security, Medicare portion of your wages, the prescription drug liability, and of course, Social Security itself comes out of the Social Security, the FICA section of your wages. So that's based on the taxpayers.
So, Brother AC.
Chef Rob.
I'm listening, bro.
This man is talking, okay, I tell you what. Since he's a multimillionaire, I know he has access to a computer. Tell him to send you those numbers right now. And you tell me that, you show me where his numbers come from and how he came up with it. I guarantee you that the number, $100-something odd trillion,
there it is right there, Chef. There it is right there, Chef Rod, in the chat room. Go to it and pull it up.
Wait a minute.
I probably given it to you before, Chef Rod.
Nah, you didn't give me this. You sent me the video about them building that iron over in Nigeria. I watched that a couple of times. Ooh, U.S. debt clock.
Are you there? Now go down to the bottom where it says unfunded liabilities.
Okay.
And you see, it's in the red. It starts to the left. You got Social Security liability. You see that?
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me come back to it. But, yeah, what were you saying, AC, while I look for it?
Well, just tell me what the numbers are and whose numbers they are.
I'm working on it, brother. I didn't had a little...
Okay.
Issue up there, but usually I don't have these issues. I'm putting up memory here, so I came back up, man. Oh my goodness!
All right, now you on the? Did you bring the page up?
But it won't stay on, man.
It's probably vibing for your memory. But if you bring it up and down at the very bottom line, you see Social Security, prescription drugs, Medicare, and it all adds up to what's called the U.S. unfunded liabilities. And the clock is constantly ticking.
It looks interesting, though. Got a whole lot.
What are the numbers?
U.S. debt clock, man. And I'm trying to get down to the bottom of the page, man. It won't let me do nothing.
And you know,
the debt clock is at 15 trillion in mounting.
No, the U.S. funded liability is $119 trillion. The debt
When Chef Rob shows me these numbers and where they come from, then I can look them up.
U.S. national debt is $15.8 trillion.
Okay.
Right at this time. The U.S. income.
Okay, I'll accept that.
$0.3 trillion. And let for the record, Pianki is not going to say something that he can't prove. I always remember that.
Well, no. I won't accept that for the record. I'll accept it out of your mouth until I find out differently.
Well, those that know me, see, my reputation precedes me.
I don't know you.
That's right. You don't know me because you're not
exactly
in the business circles that I'm in.
That's
and even
right.
In
and you don't know
in
me.
Your, even in your own city.
I accept the fact that I don't know you. Please accept the fact that
Okay. We'll get to know each other in a little while. Y'all relax about that, because that seems like you keep on going back and forth. But, yeah, bro, I'm trying to check the debt clock here. But it ain't coming up.
Debt clock is at 15 trillion and counting. I know that.
Well, let me try something else. But, yeah, that didn't come up. So, back to what I said, man, I just don't think it's pretty much my problem. I don't know about sticking around, but I don't.
The only reason it's your problem as a citizen, and let's not look at you individually. Let's look at the common citizen. It's the common citizen problem because these things affect them. It affects them in the amount that they pay for money that they go to borrow. It affects them credit-wise. It's going to affect them as far as food prices is concerned. It's going to affect them as far as mortgage prices is concerned. So it does affect the common American citizen.
What about the top percentile of this quote-unquote economical society? How does it affect them?
Well, the 10% of the those in the top 10% pay 70% of the taxes of the United States.
Yeah, I heard that before. So how does it affect them?
And that is absolutely true.
How does this debt affect them?
Well, it affects them to the fact that they not receive the interest that they would expect to receive off their money.
But they are receiving interest off their money, right? They're not losing money on this situation, right?
Well, they're not receiving as much as they can, but here's the point.
Right, I agree with you there, but they're not losing money on this situation, right?
In some cases, you are, because some cases where you buy treasury bills are paying 0% interest here in the United States. People are... One situation where you had to pay to keep your money in treasury bills at one point in time here in the last few years.
Well, I don't know about that, but I don't think that treasury bills are drawing 0%, and I know that treasury bills are probably one of the safest investments that you can make where you don't have to worry about losing money. And, Brother Pianchi, when I talk about losing money, I say you start when I say losing money. I mean, I know you people who are thriving like you, multimillionaire that you are, I know that when you are losing money, you have the advantage of talking about money that you can't make. That's the loss to you. But as far as the level of money that you have dwindling, like that's what most people recognize as a loss of money. When they have one amount and then they turn around and they have less than that amount. People at the top 10% don't have that problem. Their problem is like yours. They have a certain amount of money. They expect to make as much as possible on the money that they invest, and they're not making as much as they want to, but they are not losing money.
Who's making money?
The top people are making money, because that's what I was trying to tell you. The economy as it stands today, for people who have money, like the brother here, is a can't-lose situation.
Well,
they're not going to lose money.
Well, no, because
they're going to make money if the economy is good. They're going to make money if the economy is bad.
Well, Chef Rod, I showed some young brothers how they can make up to 25% interest on their money, and they are doing it.
Okay, so what is that way? Can you share that with me?
Well, I'll share it with you. I'll give that information to you on your chat. I won't put it on this board, but I'll show you a lot of people are making as much as 19% on their money.
Ooh-wee.
And I've seen it, I've experienced 25%, and I've seen it as high as 40% interest on your money.
Oh, my.
And you got angry when the 40% became 25%, right? Or not angry.
Hey, Brother Pianchi,
that's the term you use to describe me, angry. You got peeved when you were making 25% as opposed to 40%, right?
Well,
the way you wanted things to be.
The young black males that got involved in it also, they are very happy.
Hmm. How many young black males are we talking about here, Pianchi?
Well, I showed one, and he's been showing a lot of people since then.
Okay, hey, check it out, man. It says the U.S. Okay, I got it going. Hold on, brother. Okay, that U.S. national debt is 15. Oh,
and rising.
The numbers are bouncing, going up really quick. Now, what was that you was looking for, Brother Bianchi? Which one you were
talking
about?
Go down to the very bottom of the table.
Oh, Brother Bianchi, I see what you're talking about now.
And you said
U.S. unfunded liabilities, 119. Oh, my goodness. I can't even count these numbers. I only went to the third grade.
Oh, God.
What was it, like the 119 trillion?
119 trillion. But see, here's the point. If we had our stuff together, that wouldn't be nothing to worry about. It's going to happen whether you want it to or not. The thing is that you have to position yourself to take advantage of whatever's going on. And people do that all the time. Everybody is not going to be on top. I mean, that's one of the universal laws of the universe. There's good and there's bad. There's up and down. There's cold and there's hot. The thing
is, hold on. Let me throw another one at you. It says U.S. total debt is 56.
That includes 56 trillion. That includes
So where does the number 119 trillion come from? Where are these numbers coming from?
It says U.S. unfunded liabilities.
That's coming from the Office of Budget. That's coming from the Office of Budget Management with the United States.
That was something else I was checking. Let me try to check and see exactly where that's coming from.
Exactly.
Now, the U.S. total debt is including your mortgage, your car loans, your credit cards, and such and such and such and such and such and such.
This thing moving, man.
What's moving?
Man, these numbers are moving quick now. I got it up there, but I was trying to figure out where who put up that website. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, that comes from the U.S. Treasury Office of Budget Management, the OBM.
Okay. Yeah, so pull up the OBM and get there and see does it say OBM on the site that you have, Rob, Chef?
I don't really see that on there, but I could be overlooking it.
You see the seal at the top?
Yeah, I see the seal. The seal looks really
What does the seal say?
It looks, let me go ahead and bring it back up a little bit more. But it's that's the shit. The letters look blurry. I'm trying to. Oh yeah, this comes from the the Congressional Budget Office.
The Congressional Budget Office.
It says the U.S.
Is that OBM?
That part I didn't
see yet. Office
of
Budget Management?
That part I didn't see yet. So, I'll still be looking for it. But, brother, continue the conversation. But these numbers look interesting,
What are the numbers, Chef Rob?
I mean, the number one that stands out really to me is, let me get it over here again. That U.S. national debt.
What's defense and wars? It's down to $677 billion, right?
Which one?
Defense wars, the largest budget items. Our largest budget item is Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and defense and wars. Defense and wars is down to $677 billion. It was up to $701 billion. But look at the interest on the debt. Interest on the debt is what you pay to the private concerns. It's $225 billion. What is that, 603?
Interest on that I'm looking around and trying to demand.
It's right there.
Okay,
both of you guys ain't. This ain't my problem, man. I see all these numbers, all this stuff. I'm like, how did it get there? It looked like it came way before I was born. And they my problem. They need to fix their problem.
Well, it is your problem because you're a United States citizen, dude.
It is your problem because they're beating people that you care about over the head with these numbers, Chef.
I'm going to have to, and this is something to justify them doing that other BS, all that other bullshit. So.
You pay taxes?
Okay, Chef Rob, here's my, go ahead, Brother Bianchi.
You pay taxes, Chef? You see those numbers up in the top right corner where it says income taxes?
Yeah.
That $1,094 billion, that's some of your money is in there, man.
Oh, man, look at this.
Go over to the right. Go further to the right where it says corporate tax. Corporate tax is $179 billion.
Right.
That's what I tell you in AC. That's why I tell you blacks need to have more businesses. Payroll tax is $834 billion. Corporate tax is $179.8 billion. Corporations don't pay no taxes. You're not going to beat that. So you might as well take advantage of it. Blacks need to start more viable corporations, specializing in the things, when I say this, specializing in their own markets. And we have a market. And it has been exploited before, as I was telling, I don't know if I told you about how the church has done it, back in the early 50s, 60s, and 70s, and even in the 80s a little bit, too. Now, would you agree, AC?
Agree with what?
That we need to start viable businesses.
That we need to what?
We need to have viable businesses. If you see in
here, you're going to have a viable business if you can get the funding for it.
If you see in here
if you're going to fund the viable businesses, then yeah. If you're talking about somebody pulling themselves up by their quote unquote bootstraps to start a business in this economy,
that's
out of your mind.
And see, AC, I'm going to tell you something. The longer you stick with me, you're going to start seeing things the way I do.
I tell you what. Bet one of your million on that. If that's the way you feel, bet a million on that. We'll see how soon that happens.
You see, I'm going to tell you something. See, what I have in my head, I want you to know, too. I'm very generous.
I'm listening to you, Bianchi Rupsi.
Things that I
know. This is the situation.
Hold on. I want you to be just as profitable and prosperous as I am, AC. You understand what I'm saying?
Thank you, sir.
Let me show you something I think. Each one of these numbers, these numbers keep moving, each one of these boxes, as you click on them, these different sources are sending these numbers in. Okay, so that U.S. national debt came from the U.S. Treasury. The information about the wars and defense, that came from the U.S. Department of Defense. But then we go down here to this number here where it says U.S. unfunded liabilities, that came from the Federal Reserve. And this is total unfunded liabilities include Social Security, prescription drugs, Medicare Part D, and Medicare.
And what is that number?
$119 trillion and counting.
$119 trillion and counting from the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll look that up. I have to see that myself. I'm not in a position to look at it right now, but I have to see that myself before I comment on that.
That's how the United States cheats. See, the United States runs this society off of debt. It would go out and say, well, we're going to build 10 aircraft carriers. They ain't got the money to do that, but they will print the money to do that. And the money is backed off of one thing, their ability to bomb the hell out of other people. That shit has to come to an end.
The United States run this country off of debt since 2000. If I remember correctly, this country was operating in a surplus after 1992 to 2000. The country was operating at a surplus.
Well, the United States have always been. This has always been a debt society. And let me tell you how it works.
Okay.
AC, when you go to buy a house. You go to buy a house and you got good credit, and that house costs—I can build that house for $100,000. And you take you borrow $100,000, and that promissory note, AC, I can take that to the Federal Reserve, and borrow, get 9 times the amount of money off of your good credit and your promise to pay. That's what you call a debt society. And they've been doing that forever. And they cheat. It has to come to an end. The closest thing African countries, when they try to do it by way of what they call monetization, monetizing their resources. If they're sitting on $1 trillion worth of platinum, they should be able to print $1 trillion worth of currency based on that platinum that's in the ground. The U.S. wants
talking about Africa, they don't own the platinum. Unfortunately, it's owned by other interests outside of Africa.
Well, we'll talk about that later on, too.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I just want to understand one thing. By your statement of we'll talk about that later, are you suggesting that what I'm saying is untrue?
Well, I got gold in Ghana, and it's mine, AC. Not nobody else.
Okay. Gold. We're talking about platinum here.
Well,
the platinum in the ground in Africa. I can be specific if you want me to.
Well, let me tell you.
The platinum in the ground in Africa.
I bet you
don't have any of that.
I have platinum and gold on my kitchen table. That's where I process it, AC.
I still go back to the platinum and gold in the ground in Africa. I'm not talking about what you got sitting on your kitchen table. And why would you have platinum and gold sitting on your kitchen table anyway?
Because that's where I process it. It's sent to me. When they send it to me, I process it.
And what do you mean by process?
You have to process it into remove all the impurities out. You got to take the silver out of it. You got to take the palladium out of it. You got to take the platinum out of it. You have to end up with 23.99995.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Now, if you want me to, I'll show you how to do that.
Nah, that's all right. You handle your business. You handle your business. I'll handle mine.
Student loan debt. That's a pretty high number.
I can hardly wait to get in front of a computer and look this crap up.
Get back to the conversation, though. That's how they cheat, and that needs to come to an end. And I don't think, Obama's not going to end it. Romney's not going to end it. Ron Paul was the closest thing that I heard any.
And he wouldn't end it either.
Well, you don't know until he'd be put in that position to do so. The Federal Reserve Act expired December 31st of this year, by the way.
Okay. But can I ask you a question?
Go ahead,
AC. You suggested that the system, this debt society system that we are operating under needs to end. Any suggestions on how that's supposed to take place?
Well, other countries are going to stop using the United States dollar as a reserve currency. You have 29 doing so now, plus 11 in Latin America. And other nations are going to have to start trading in, during their trade in other things than the U.S. dollar. And that would help to kill those devils. Because they the ones making the money off of this.
Who are the devils?
Well, you know who the devils are.
You're the one that made the statement. I got different devils than you. Who are the devils that you're speaking of is what
same
I'm concerned about
names.
Now.
Same old names, AC. Same old names.
So now my question is, you know, you've labeled these same old names. If you're talking about the same people that I'm thinking about now, when you say the same old names,
you're thinking about the same one. But see,
why is it that you aspire to take their place? Basically,
what I do is compete against them. I take it from.
Why
them.
Is it okay in a competition?
Yes,
you know,
right.
I take you back in a competition. I'll take you back to King of the Hill. The idea is to become.
When I started my business here, I showed a pie chart of the steel erectors that dominated the system. And when you added their percentage up, it added up to 100%. And I basically said, I'm going to take this amount. And that's what I did. I took this amount. So in order for me to have, say, 10%, 15% or whatever, somebody had to lose. And that's what you got to do. If they got 100% and you want to get in there, you got to take out whatever the portion that you want, whatever you can have. That's competition.
So you don't aspire to replace the devils?
Oh, no. There's no way in the world I could do that because they've been doing that for hundreds of years. I can't do that. I don't have that much life. It's just like, say black people use eggs. What? I think it's Tyson that controls the eggs. Let's say Tyson controls the eggs in the black community. But we can get the equipment and we can produce eggs at either the price of Tyson or just a little bit cheaper. So how much do you want to produce? You want to produce 100,000 eggs a day where Tyson is producing 5 million eggs a day? Well, if that's the case, you're going to leave them with, what, 4,900,000. If you want to do 200,000, you're going to leave them with 4,800,000. Suppose you want to do 2 million, well, you're going to leave them with 3 million. That's the way you compete.
Okay. So.
You follow me?
I don't see how that's a competition. I understand the numbers. I mean, the numbers are quite simple. The philosophy is quite simple, which suggests to me that since they're not, well, who are these black people that are you one of the black people that's producing 300,000 or however many eggs to take a bite out of the major players in the industry?
Well, you have black people.
And if you're not, who, if you're not one of those people, then who is?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I use that as an example. You remember the Montreal Expos?
Yes, I remember the Montreal Expos. I'm that
they're
old.
They're not in business no more, right?
Actually, if I'm not mistaken, they are now in Washington, D.C. as the Nationals.
Yeah, I think the Nationals was there when the Montreals was in existence. I think the team might have moved, but
no. There
was a club called the Nationals there during the Montreal.
The Nationals existed in the late 50s and back.
Right. And so the Montreal came along and said, look, we got a market here that we can specialize. I mean, we can dominate this market in Canada. And we can also go throughout the states and take some of what other people are already doing. So that's what they've done. At one time, the season was like 100. What is the season now? How many games? Well, I tell you what.
162.
World Series used to be going on around the end of September.
Correct. They used
now,
to play doubleheaders. They
right.
don't play doubleheaders anymore.
Right. So now the World Series is going on damn near in November.
Exactly.
So, you just have to go in there and compete for the market, and that's what we need to do. We already are market. We got the market. It's us. It's us. Now, we have to do some – there's a lot of other things that have to go along with it. First, you got to change the mindset, and that has to be done more effectively with the children because you ain't going to change no old heads.
Really?
Not easy.
You don't think – okay, how do you propose to – I mean, you know –
Oh, here's something.
I get the generic terms and all of that. I wish you would speak in the specifics. Change the mindset sounds real good. How do you?
Let me help you with that one. And I agree with him on this one. It's hard to change.
How do you change the mindset?
That's why I agree with. Listen, I think it's hard to change the mindset of some people that've got. You know, this is one of the times you say setting their ways. You know, they gotten used to doing things this way. A lot of people don't want to change. That's why you got to go ahead and try to deal with the children.
Yeah,
you
got to
go ahead
change.
And find a new, you know.
How do you change the mindset of the children?
Hold on. Let me finish. There's a whole lot of times that you got to go ahead and try to go ahead and get with that planting that seed, because if you can catch them in time, you know, we can save a lot of them. You know, that's the one of the ways of starting over, because a lot of these people ain't gonna go in and go for none of that. You get a whole lot of opposition to any words that deal with unity and let's work together and us and all that. Man, you get a lot of opposition to that. Some people love the way they are in any position. They don't want to change.
You like Blueprint for Black Power, don't you, AC? That's a good book, right?
Never read it.
It was produced by Amos Wilson. It was an excellent book. It still is in use. Excellent book. We got to teach children how to read, right? Well, let them learn how to read reading that type of stuff. Let them learn how to read reading about Jake Simmons, who was an oil baron, a black oil baron in Texas. Let them learn how to read reading about C.R. Patterson, who was producing automobiles before Henry Ford.
What's the name of that book again?
What about Blueprint for Black Power by Amos Wilson?
Blueprint for Black Power. I've seen it.
That is an excellent book, man. Everybody should read. It's over 800 pages, but everybody should have that book. Amos Wilson was a prophet.
Okay, so now, back to my original question. Specifically, how do you change the mindset? By giving people books to read?
No, you change the mindset, it becomes a habit. It's like when I take busloads of black children out of the public schools on field trips, and I base the field trips on nutrition. We have people come out and teach them how to read nutritional labels, and then a couple of weeks later we get the parents to produce a food list and give the children money, and they go to the black grocery store.
Excuse me, brother. Can I beg off for a minute? I have to deal with it. Can I call right back?
Yeah, you can. Go on ahead, bro.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So that's what I'm talking about. You got children. They go into the grocery store. They got a grocery list. They're picking the things off the shelf. They at a black store. And that's emphasizing that you got to support the businesses in your community, and you start
some of the images. Though, a little bit more of the images needs to be changed. That was the sense.
Oh, absolutely. When they go in there, then they go in the back of this particular store where they got a garden, they've got a fish farm, they got a bee farm, and they see how it all comes together. And then they go home and say, "Mama, we need to go to this store. Mama, we need to go to this store." And you not only do one school, but you do several schools like that.
You go ahead and introduce the product at the school.
Yeah,
I'm here.
Am I here?
Yeah, you in.
Okay. So sorry about that. I thought it was, they were blowing my phone up. I thought it was an emergency. It was some dumb stuff. I truly apologize.
So, AC,
don't sweat it. Don't.
What I've done, AC, is I took a field trip of black students to a black grocery store. They had a grocery list from home. The parents gave them money. And as they was buying the groceries, they was checking the nutritional label to be in compliance with the school district. And at the same time, they was spending money with a black grocery store. They would go around in the back, and they would see where produce is being grown. They would go into the area where they have the fish farm. They could see the fish being raised. They could go over and see the bee farm, seeing where honey is being made. And they're instilled in them that they are supposed to support their own businesses. When they go home...
Can I get the name of this black grocery store?
Oh, that's Yours Market. It's named after Elijah Muhammad.
Oh, really?
Idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm familiar with the Yours name, and I'm familiar with Salam Restaurant by the Minister Louis Farrakhan. So yeah, okay, I can check that out. I've been associated with that. Well, you know, indirectly associated with that system anyway. I've seen how it worked, unfortunately, I've seen how its demise occurred in the city of Chicago to the point where they're no longer in this area. But it's nice to hear that they are still in other areas. I'll guarantee that.
Yeah, so that's how you shape the mindset of children. And they would grow up, using an old biblical term, because you know I'm not religious, but if you bring up a child in the right way, they won't depart from it in the end when they get grown. And the child the children are the ones going to change the parents, to help to change the parents.
Okay, so the time frame of that is what?
Well, it's going to take 20, a long time,
30,
but we don't
50,
work on that.
100 years?
As long as it's in the making, that's all I can say.
Well, I promise you that, you know, I would, well, okay.
I can't say, I can't promise you, but I don't think that this situation as it exists now can stand for that long a period of time without something traumatic and dramatic happening to facilitate its end, let's say.
Yeah, well, you know, I always believe that it's better to start late than not start at all. But everybody has something to contribute. You got some good things to contribute, JC. And I support you in the things that you do. I may not personally want to get involved because I'm involved in a lot of other things, but I support you in the things you do.
Well, and I know you support me in the things I do too, JC. Well, okay. Let's put it this way. I understand that you recognize that there's a problem, that you want the problem resolved, and you want to benefit from the resolution of the problem. I benefit because
our people are beginning to control their economy. The children have something to aspire to. They don't have to be getting involved in these drugs, and you know what that leads into. Because I don't want to get shot by somebody. Because I spend a lot of time in the black community. I don't have to, but I do. And I sure don't want to get shot. I don't want my kids to get shot. I don't want none of the children that I coach to get hurt. See, so we all benefit from it in the long run. Then we stop fearing the white man.
There's nothing wrong with lying in your pockets. So, you know, but that's the benefit that I was talking about. The only problem that I would have with that as long as this system continues to be so detrimental to so many of what I would consider my people, then I have a problem with people who are with anyone. The devils of the past and the wannabe devils of the future benefiting off the misery of my people. I got a problem with that. And I'm not, hold it, let me finish. I'm not suggesting. I can see how. I don't know, but from the tone of your voice, from your accent, I would suggest that you are of African American descent or African descent. And so, therefore, I would appreciate it if you would benefit as opposed to the devils of the past. I'm going to put that out there.
Well,
I don't care if that's racist or whatever it is.
Guess what, JC? I would want you to benefit rather than some white person to benefit. See, I tell you up front, yes,
that's what I just
am.
Said. That's what I just
Listen.
Said.
See, I am
that's
racial.
What I, just said.
I do practice prejudice, and I am discrimination. I do practice discrimination, JC.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
That's AC.
I think we had that discussion. There's nothing wrong with prejudging. I mean, especially if you have a knack or a sense of what's going to happen in a situation, a prejudgment can save you a lot of heartache. And there's nothing wrong with discriminating. I mean, there are people that I speak to wouldn't spend 50 seconds with. So,
well, as I told you before, squirrels don't take nuts to the pigeon nest, neither, do they?
I don't think I remember hearing that one, but I definitely will remember it. Okay, so now...
But like your brother was on the other program the other night, he was talking about that one school. See, my business contributed thousands of dollars to that school. And see, that school's not in operation nowadays. And I got to the point, and I used to contribute thousands of dollars to organizations, but these organizations are gone. And I said to myself, this ain't survive. They have to have a profitable enterprise that's supporting that organization, a profitable business.
Uh-huh.
White folks and everybody else do it all the time.
I definitely know that.
Colleges. These colleges.
There was a moment in there when I couldn't, for some strange reason, I couldn't hear what you were saying. So I just want to know, did you pull your support from these organizations, or, you know, because I heard you say that these organizations need a functioning financial structure behind them in order for them to succeed. I mean, I'm paraphrasing what I heard you say, But so did you pull your support from these systems, or do you continue to support them?
Well, they're not in existence now. And what I,
they're not in existence anymore.
And what I said, that a organization, whether it's the UNIA need businesses that it controls, that makes a profit, that funds the UNIA. And if you look at your universities, your colleges, your Harvard, for instance, your Harvard has produced people that go out and capture monies out of the marketplace. Then they take the profits from that and they contribute to the endowment of those universities. That's why Harvard's endowment, well, we got a school here, endowment is like over $60 billion. So that's what we got to do. And another point, black children are not going to learn in white schools how to take power from white folks. Whites is not going to teach your children that. And you can't even talk that in an integrated school. Cause all kind of problems. So you got to have your own schools. Now, once your children are educated, then they can go any place in the world. They can go to Germany and learn skills. Education teaches you to take your skills and bring them back home to make your own people strong, your own community strong.
Agree. The proper education, anyway.
Well, that's why come I say you're right, proper education. That's why come you have to give it. Like your schools up there in Chicago, Betty Shabazz and the Comedic Center there at Northeast University. They're off of, 39th Street?
Oakwood, yeah.
Where Dave Coretta's used to be.
Okay, yeah. I'm familiar with those organizations, of course.
Yeah.
They're in my hometown, so I know the things that are good that are going on around here. Or at least the things that I consider good. I don't know how other people feel about them, but yeah, I know that organization. Yes, I know those organizations. Yeah, you know. Especially when the brothers are involved. You know.
You know what? The thing that makes me I wonder about even what organizations that are out here. I really don't hear about them. You know, I don't see big advertising for them and stuff like that. I don't see no people going door to door and everything. I mean, how do you really find out about these organizations? I think if they're doing good, they should let people know. Yeah, and it's almost like a whisper, like they're non-existent.
Well, I tell you what, you probably don't want to know about them. what you want to do is what you do best, find some like minds. And you need to start a business, start a cartel. Y'all work together. And it can happen. It is happening. And people are starting, brothers are starting to do it. Sisters are starting to do that. And, I mean, that's what it's going to take. You're going to have to do the best job, the best business you can start is that which you know. For you to go out and get involved in something you don't know shit about is very dangerous. I never would get involved in painting. I don't know about no painting. I only know things about steel erection. I know about heavy plate welding. I know how to put up buildings and bridges. I know some other things, but that's my bread and butter.
How you feel about that, Asa?
Well, you know, my system has always been, I mean, because I'm very distrustful of what goes on in this country today. My thing has always been I like to glean things from the neighborhood. There's a lot of good things going on in the neighborhood. I take a piece here, a piece there, and I develop my own thing. I've always approached the situation that way, and I try to keep my head low because, you know, I don't want those who would thwart me to even know that I exist until I've reached a point where I can exist without, you know, a certain amount of support from these groups and that group. So if they decide to cut me off, I can still do what it is that I have to do. And like I said, I comb through the neighborhood. That's why I know about some of the things that the brother is speaking of, because you know, I've actually visited these institutions. I've listened to some of the things that they have to say, especially, you know, the situation on Northeastern. And, of course, the Betty Shabazz, the Betty Shabazz, or
any of the quote-unquote Nation of Islam situations that exist in the city of Chicago, I've always been thoroughly interested in, because at one point in time I was leaning in that direction. You know, I would have to say that, you know, I have a logical belief in a creator, in a God. Now, I don't want to get into my logic, but for me, it's a matter of logic. So, other than that, my thing is, okay, yes, God exists, and he's a very, you know, that is a very powerful entity, and I have been given certain gifts from him, and so therefore I should be able to handle any situation at any point in time, because my gifts come from a higher power. And that's what I've been operating on for the past 60 years. And, there are a lot of situations that I'm not completely happy with, but for the most part, I wake up every morning with a smile on my face.
Well, yeah, and that's another thing that we try to do too much. We are like on the other show, they were down in Christianity. If black people are comfortable with Christianity, let them alone. We're not supposed to try to coerce people out of their belief. All we want to do is to control the consumables that our people are utilizing. I don't care if they Christians, if they Muslims, or whatever. That's what that is our goal. We have to teach our own children. Whether they Christians or whatever, that don't make no, as long as we teach them what they need to do, where they can go out in the world and compete. Our children, I'm going to tell you something, AC. It's a damn shame the way we treat our children. We got some of the most intelligent, matter of fact, we do. We have some of the most intelligent children that the Creator has ever produced. But we do not give them the tools, whereas we can extract the ultimate best from them. The only place we do that is in athletics, and we really don't do that right, because you look at the facilities that Walter Payton came from. And look at the facility, these kids out there playing on sand lots and vacant lots and so forth. And go to the high schools where they're using tires and stuff. Then go to these white schools where they have all these technological marvels. Why come we don't provide that same type of thing for our children? And let our children go through a process of see if you can or if you can't. Children that's 4'2" shouldn't be going out for basketball. You understand what I'm saying? Whereas you got baseball, you got tennis, you have golf, you have lacrosse, all these other sports that we are not participating, even volleyball, that we're not participating in, that could help these children to gather a scholarship to pay for their education.
Okay, I'll go along. I could not agree with that. You know, I would have to agree with what it is that you're saying on that point. A lot of what our children are doing is not motivated by a concept of common sense, but a concept of popularity. And the only thing about popularity is it's fleeting. It doesn't last. Now, like you said, you know, black children, if it's one thing that Tiger Woods proved, if black children got involved with golf, they would dominate the sport. As a matter of fact, I can't think of a sport that if black children were thoroughly involved, truly involved, like they are football and basketball. I mean, it's basically they've given up on baseball. But, you know, if they were to become truly engrossed in those other sports like you're talking about, I mean, if you look at the black people that play hockey, they're doing a better job. I mean, they've established the situation there.
Yeah.
You know, and volleyball and all of those other sports, like you said, and if the goal was, okay, and education as opposed to being popular, and yeah, that situation would work. But see, the problem that I have with all of that, I consider that a continuation. You know, I can't agree with a concept that has you operating from within the belly of the beast. Get outside the beast, kill the beast, or tame the beast. If you're not going to do one of those, then it's a waste of time.
Well, you ain't going to kill the beast. But the thing is,
tame it then.
Well, you're not gonna tame it either. But what you can do, you can give respect.
So, okay. So you know what you're saying is you'll never be in it because the beast.
No, what you do?
I even think you said this.
The beast is feasting on the misery of your people, my people, our
you
people.
Remember when I told you that other had 100% of the pie and I came in and took from them and gathered respect from them?
I've never garnered their respect. I've never wanted their respect.
Well, what else you gonna do? Russia.
What else am I going to do?
Russia.
That's what I was trying to tell you. I've been operating in the shadows of the situation for an extended period of time. I feel comfortable in the shadows. I don't want to be seen by these people.
But
as a matter of fact, I was reluctant to even put my voice out there. I mean, I come from a different era. I come from a situation where, brothers and sisters who succeeded were targeted. I don't know if that's going on today because I've eliminated myself from the possibility of that.
Ain't nobody targeting.
You call it paranoia. I don't consider paranoia a bad thing, personally, especially when you're dealing with a situation with the history that I'm talking about.
I understand what you're saying, but see, everybody else don't feel that way, and we have to give them respect.
I understand, and like you said before, I'm not trying to push my views on anybody else.
Right. So what I'm saying is I'm not
trying to tell them how to live their life. All I can provide is an example. Why is it that this guy walks around, smile on his face, happy all the time? His situation isn't great, but he ain't fretting about it. He's not afraid.
But what I'm saying is this, is that the possibility is there, the opportunity is there, and we have to take advantage of it.
And what I'm saying is, the way you're talking about it is just a perpetuation of a situation that has been detrimental to us since the first time we got here off the boat. And I'm talking, when I say the first time we got here off the boat, I'm talking about the brother that came here with Columbus. I'm talking about the brother that came here with the Columbus, because before then, when we got here off the boat, it was all us on the boat.
Brother Bianchi?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
It doesn't sound like we're disagreeing as much as we did last week, brother. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, but, of course there's a lot of validity to what it is that you say. And, I'm just another point of view. I took that from George Clinton, by the way. I don't want to be accused of plagiarism. I'm just another point of view, Brother Bianchi, I know you've lived your life through this situation, and you handle the situation that the way you want to, and you espouse that because it's been quite successful for you on many levels, as you say. On many levels it's been quite successful for you, and you want other people to pick that up. I have to recognize not too many people could handle the situation that I do. It takes a great deal of fortitude, a great deal of faith. Now, I don't care what it is that you believe in. I'm not trying to tell you what to believe in. But you better have some faith in something, if only yourself. If only thing you can have some faith in is yourself, then you better have a lot of that. Regardless of if you do it your way or my way, obviously you're going to meet with a great deal of resistance. You're going to meet with a great deal of people that are trying to make you fail, help you fail. So, you better have the resilience to stand up to it and continue to try it on, which is the only thing that I can honestly say I do better than most.
Well, when I was in Chicago working in Schaumburg, Illinois, we put up a community center. It was a racquetball. It was a metal building, a racquetball club or something like that.
Hmm.
I depended on the people and their experience. I have five people in my raising gang, and amongst them is over 100 years of experience. And it's that 100 years of experience that I have faith in them in getting the job done, not only correctly, but also safely. When we was working at American Bridge Southworks plant, at the same time that the Sears Tower was going up downtown Chicago in 1969. Well, sometime around there. I would be on one end and a white guy would be on the other end. And I was dependent on him to do certain things for me to be able to walk out to the center of that beam and do what I had to do. If he didn't do what he supposed to do. I was got killed, and likewise. When we was in Detroit, right off of Highway 75, doing an office building for Bethlehem Steel. Okay. And this was in 1973 because I had a brand new Thunderbird at that time. The same thing applies. You know, you have to have faith in what it is that you can control. And people can have faith in whatever it is that they feel best. But there's some basic things that you have to be able to control. You have to be able to put it together. And based on past experiences, determines on what you do this time. And you stand back and say, let's see what happens. And if everything goes right, it will go right. And most of the time it does. Very few times does it fail. Because the point is, in some industries, because if that one failure not only means that you tear up material, but it also means that you can lose lives. And that's something I have never had occur. I have never lost a life on none of my projects.
Okay. Well, you know, on that note, let me say that the only thing that I've ever feel comfortable about my ability to control is me and my knowledge. What it is that I know, you know. So I've operated on that. Now, there are certain things that I feel, obviously, you know, but unless I have the raw data that adds up, you know, I believe in numbers. I like numbers, okay? And I know I believe in numbers and my ability to accomplish. Those are the things that I depend on because those are the things that I know, you know, that I can control. My knowledge of numbers, if I don't have the numbers, if I don't see the numbers, then I'm not going to get involved. And my knowledge of me, I can control that. Everything else, you know, I have to depend on somebody else. So, depending on how much I have to depend on somebody else determines if I'm going to become involved in that situation. I mean, because like that situation where you were talking about, where I had to have white people helping me in order for me to survive, you know, and vice versa. And I leave that situation, and I was like, oh, that was cool, you know. We survived. We did what it is that we were supposed to do. We survived. We got the job done. Now we go back and see what else is for us to do. That was my perspective. And then I'm sitting around and listening to the white boy that I was just out there protecting him like he was protecting me, and I'm a nigger. So, you know, how am I supposed to, come on, you know, it's not like he's giving me a compliment when he says that. So how am I supposed to feel about that situation? It's like, okay, all right, I got you. And it's not like I took that statement. And the next time, because, you know, I was in the military. We were in a situation where we were going to be doing this on a regular basis, risking our lives, doing some stuff that was very dangerous. And I had to depend on him, you know, for the sake of my life and vice versa. And just because he called me a nigger didn't mean the next time we went out there I let him die because I was all about doing the job. But you better bet it changed my perspective on how I looked at him after he, you know, saved my, you know, after he protected
find
my
yourself.
Life.
When
my,
you find
my whole situation with him changed.
Yeah, when you find yourself in those positions where you're the only one.
Yeah.
You got your family. You got your family to feed.
Yeah.
Your common sense is going to tell you, say, look, I got to feed.
Right.
What they saying is going to go over my head, because I ain't going to do anything that's going to jeopardize this job. So the words
okay,
they going to buy.
Let me just, Brother Piyaki, let me just say one thing. Everything that you said is true except one thing. It doesn't go over my head. It doesn't. You know, this is the problem. This might be my problem. But it doesn't go over my head. Everything else, oh, yeah, I'm thinking about taking care of my family. I'm thinking about not going to jail for slapping him off. I'm thinking about, you know, not being responsible for his demise. But it doesn't go over my head. Now, please, continue your thought.
Well, yeah, but you acted, how should we say, you responded in an accountable way. And when you look at it, you're probably laughing all the way to the bank.
This is true.
You know,
I don't know where he is right now. Don't care.
hey, you know why I got you? What happened to the? Wasn't a bank called Chicago Bank, LaSalle Bank, or something up there in Chicago? I got money in that bank up there, by the way.
What you talking about? You talking about a black owned bank?
No, I don't think it was black owned. I think it's Chicago Bank or something like that.
Well, I never heard of Chicago Bank, but I have heard of LaSalle Bank.
It might be at LaSalle. I got to go up there. I got money in that bank. Goes back in the 1970s. But anyway, it's a good conversation, and there's things that – and see, you got a whole lot to offer. I can give you a suggestion, though. When you're sitting down meeting, you always want to have children around you, especially young teenagers, so they can hear you negotiating business, talking about business, so they can understand and see that going on. It's good for children, our children, to see black men sitting around a table negotiating business because they don't see that all. It's uncommon for them to see that. I like to use J.R. Ewing, for example, in Dallas. You should see Dallas. You should see them come down to breakfast, sit around the breakfast table, all them, those members of that family, and they was talking business. Our children have to see us do the same thing, and we can't do that.
Well, I was reading, they had an article in the newspaper, Sunday's paper yesterday, the Tribune, which I hardly ever read, but that's another issue. And of course, it was Father's Day, so actually they were doing a father-daughter thing. And one of the quotes from one of the daughters was that my father never talked down to children. I don't do the goo-goo gaga. I've never talked down to children. I basically, you know, of course, my vocabulary is extensive enough where I can use words that children understand and still get my meaning across. So I'm not talking over their heads. But I'm not, like I said, I'm not talking down to them either. I'm talking to them hopefully in a language that they can understand, in a tone that they can understand, except, you know, I'm not angry, brother. I'm not angry. I'm adamant. I'm passionate. But I don't have anything to be angry about. I've had a great life since the time I was born until this very day. Yes, I've had my problems. No, I'm probably not as rich as you are. But I've had a great life.
Well,
so
but
no
that's see, but here's the point. Wait a minute. That's not true. You are rich as I am in your own
I'm
way.
I'm talking about financially. I'm talking about money-wise.
But that's not always discount because you bring something to the table that's very valuable within its own self.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother.
Rob,
All I'm saying is I have no reason, and God knows this, I have no reason to be angry about anything. I have a loving family, which has only been extended and will only be continued to extend. I have great friends, not good friends, great friends. Of course, I'm discriminating and I'm prejudicial, so that my friends are limited.
Well,
you know, discrimination, I call my friends,
discrimination and prejudice is good. I keep telling folks that. They look at me like I'm crazy when I say that.
Well, no, that's because they get caught up in the words, and nobody wants to listen to your thought process. Like I said, that's one of the gifts that I hold most dearest in my heart, my ability to shut my mouth on occasions. Although some of the listeners out there might not believe this, I can shut my mouth and listen. And actually, that is when I am at my best. Like I said earlier, I'm slow to talk. I am very quick to listen.
Hey, Rod, look at that. Go in your Skype and get that GOV website.
I was looking at that
BOG. BOG.
BOG?
BOG.gov.gh.
Are you talking about the OMB? You're not talking about the OMB now, right? You're talking about BOG?
This is the Bank of Ghana. Go to that.
Yeah.
Bank of Ghana. Okay.
I was kind of looking that over. Right now I'm looking at the major payment system in Ghana.
Well, hang on. Did you see the interest rate that I was telling you about? On the right side of the screen when you pop that up?
Let me go back to it. Yeah, I'm looking at it.
All right. It's on the right side, it says interest rates and inflation, right?
Right.
And it says the current monetary policy rate, the inflation CPI, inflation target. Then it says the 91 T-bill rate. What did it say? 91-day T-bill rate.
19%?
Tell how much it's paying again?
19.3633%.
Interest.
Mm.
You hear that, AC?
Yes, I did.
So if you
are you giving me an investment tip?
If you put your money in there, if you put $10,000 in there, 19.3% in about, let's see, 20, 40, 60, in about 3 years, 6 months, it would have doubled itself using the rule of 72. If it stays that high. But it floats around, it goes up and down, it follows the, you know, different markets and so forth, especially the U.S. dollar. But that's very good. And as I said, I've seen that, I've experienced, well, I don't like to tell people what I've seen, but I've seen it as high as 40%. But and T-bill rate, treasury bill rates, is what countries would go out and capture cash in order to get infrastructure done, infrastructure projects.
Right.
And the United States does the same thing, except that developed countries can't offer the type of rates that a developing country can offer.
Mm.
And see, if you was in, for instance, if you was in Ghana, one U.S. dollar would buy about 1.75 of theirs. And let's say this, that an individual can eat 3 meals in a day in Ghana for, say, like maybe like $8. Probably maybe it can be cheaper than that. So you can see how you can take your money and buy other currency, and, you know, you can do very well, especially if you live in there. $1,000 a month, will you can have a chauffeur, a maid, and a guard. It might be a little bit. And you're not exploiting people. It just don't cost as much to live. It's cost too much to live here, and for a lot of reasons we don't have enough time to discuss about right now.
Yeah, I'm still looking at the debt clock too, man. The debt per citizen, $50,338. I mean, how is that my damn problem, man?
You're a citizen.
Gosh.
But as far as I'm concerned, as far as the debt clock goes, pay off the debt. Then you won't have to worry about it anymore.
But yeah, that's my man. Why would it be my problem?
Oh, Rob, okay. You can't escape the fact that you live in this country and you are considered a United States citizen. Okay, so. By buying into that situation, it's part of your problem. Now, if you want me to hook you up with some Moorish brothers who travel around here and believe that they are not part of this system, I can do that. Maybe that'll make you feel more comfortable. But
I know one of them went to jail.
And truly became part of the system.
Me,
but, you know, as it stands now, you have to accept responsibility for the debt that has been thrust upon you. And my only point about that is, you know, but like I said before, it doesn't matter if this country operates at a surplus or operates at a deficit, there are those that benefit regardless of how it goes. As a matter of fact, I would suggest the way they keep letting the debt pile up, the way that clock keeps running, I would suggest that they make more money in a deficit situation than they would in a surplus situation. Now, like I said, I'm going to check the numbers out that I've heard tonight, because I have to see this stuff for myself and understand where it comes from. That's just my favorite.
It would make you mad, man. But I'm going to tell you something. You said something
makes me mad. That's the point. That's the situation. Like I was telling you before, that's the situation that I control. I stopped getting mad long ago when they started. See, because the last time I was angry about a situation that was going on in this country, they were killing my leaders. And they didn't stop killing my leaders just because I got angry.
Well, let me put it like this.
So,
it would make the average person mad, angry. But,
yeah, I understand.
But
I'm
one thing
average.
That you said that was very true, when some people are doing bad, some are doing good. And see, the problem with us is that we always on the wrong side of the damn cycle. And we
I definitely agree with that. We spend more, most of us spend more time under the wheel than we ever spend on top of it.
Right.
So we
got
to
change
by this situation.
We got to change that around.
I definitely agree with that. The only thing that we seem to have any disagreement on is the method. I mean, the things you were talking about the children, of course, you know, I honestly believe that the reason you brought that up is because it's the easiest way to touch a real man's heart. I mean, you talk about children, and I have to think about mine, okay, and my grandchildren, which exist now. So, you know, I want them to know. I wish I could implant all of the things that I have discovered in my years on this world. I wish I could put that in their heads just to give them another perspective to deal with this situation as it exists today. I think it would be beneficial to them. Unfortunately, I can't do that, so I'm going to have to leave them something else. And that, you know, like you have to know me. The things you were talking about, sitting around talking to your children while you're doing things, like, you know, I don't hide things from them. You know, I mean, I don't hide everything from them. Things that are going to offend, you know, things that involve my life, well, that's my business. Things that you know, ultimately is going to involve their life, oh, yeah, I expose them to that at every opportunity, especially when we're talking about a business. You know, even if my 7-year-old daughter is sitting up there and she doesn't understand a word that's being said, she understands, she feels the vibe. There's something going on here. It's not anger. You know, because we're talking about negotiation here, and you obviously you would know how negotiations get. Sometimes they get heated when you're trying to get your point across, and sometimes they're very successful. And I like the ebb and flow of that situation, because that's a situation that I've been involved in. Of course, I can't control that situation, but I have been involved with it. In some instances, I've been the one to come out on top. You know, like you said, you know, sometimes you lowball and you get the situation. Sometimes you highball and stick it to somebody else who can't really afford to pay for the situation that they've gotten themselves into. I understand that all too well. The art of negotiation is something that I feel extremely comfortable in, and I've exposed my children to those situations on numerous occasions for the very reason, even if they don't understand what's going on, they get a sense. You know, they might not understand the verbiage, they might not know what it is that we're talking about, but they understand, hey, something is happening here. And it's interesting because my dad's involved and this other person is involved, you know. So, yeah, I totally agree with that aspect of it, having your children around when you're handling business. And I wouldn't be afraid to have my children around when I was having this kind of conversation on the radio, because they like when I talk like this. They get excited about me being excited. And that's the one thing that's happened since the brother invited me on this show. This excites me. It gives me a chance to say some of the things that I've always wanted to say and hopefully have a positive effect on somebody out there that might be listening.
Good. That's good. I like that. I like that a lot, man.
Yeah. It's the truth. Can't help but like the truth.
That's good. Brother Bianchi, you want to add to that?
No, it's the... A very honorable thing that he mentioned.
Hmm. Yeah.
Only thing we can do is the best we can, but we have to strive to do more. And, you know, I hate to, you know, it's a lot of things. And I say, tell you something else. We always get involved. I ain't going to say we always, but, you know, there's always something for us to get involved that distracts us. You know, like, I think they had a big march the other day someplace for against police, stop and frisk.
The thing in New York?
Yeah, that is a distraction. Because I remember marches like years ago, and all in between. So we have to, some way or another, get all in prey to these distractions. And the only way that's going to happen is somebody's going to have to go out and start doing some other things. And people are doing other things. I'm not going to say that nothing's being done. There is a lot being done. It's just not, you're just not satisfied with the level. But, you know, I always like to throw out bad statistics. I mean, that's just the way they are. They're just bad. They're not good, but that's the statistic. But you may go to the hospital I go to the doctor, and the doctor's going to take your blood pressure. He's going to take your sugar, measure your sugar, and he's going to take your PSA for your prostate, and he may come back with all bad numbers. Now, does that mean you're going to die? No, but it means that you can die unless you start changing things around. And you look at those numbers, and you can look at the worst of the worst and start planning on making it better. And that's what we have to do with these statistics that we have. These statistics of, you know, 87% of our business gross less than $50,000. That is a bad statistic that we need to look at and say, hey, we got to change this. And what businesses do we need to be doing? Whereas, well, you know, here's the point. If Asians are number one, has the number one household, or should I say Asian women have the top female business, where in the hell are they making this money at? And better yet, but listen real quick. Listen at this real quick. I'm gonna just four more words. How much of it is coming from us?
Well, but the thing is, I'm gonna ask you is, shouldn't we go ahead and question where that information is coming from?
Oh, it's true, man. It ain't no lie. It's true because they put it in places because they never expect for us to go find it out. And another thing, it does work because I've included information on the census based on my own personal self. And later on when it came out and it was published, I'd be damned. There it is right there, just like I've included. So it's true. When people are surveyed, they put this information out. And this information is compiled and put in data where it's made available in whatever form that you want. You can have it where it's men only. You can have it where it's men and female, or you can have it where it's female only. You can have it where it's Native American, Indian, Black, Hispanic, non-Hispanic, white, so on, so on, so on.
To answer and your question, Chef Rob. Oh, okay.
But
go ahead,
are you finished, Brother Bianchi?
Yes, sir, I am.
Let me answer,
your question. Huh?
Go ahead.
To answer your question, Chef Rob, yes, you should question the information because there's good propaganda and there's also bad propaganda. Okay, question the information, but don't get too steeped in, you know. Okay, if you question the information, okay. So how do you handle this? You question the information, you find out the information is true, you respond accordingly. You question the information, you find out the information is false, you respond accordingly. You question the information and you don't find out anything. I mean, you know, this situation is simple. You know, if you don't find out anything, why would you follow that information?
Let me give you something else.
If you find out the information is false, why would you follow that information?
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something else too, Chef. Right? Matter of fact, that interest rate is 21.9%. But, you know, when you do a business plan, you got to study the market that you're getting ready to get involved with. And there's certain information like Dodge Reports and some other peer articles. What they do the same thing that the U.S. Census does. They go out and they survey businesses. And businesses will include their financials, which tell how much they're paying for utilities, how much they're paying for insurance, how much they're paying for supplies. So that information is very valuable with you who are trying to get into that particular building. You need to know what are my costs going to be. So you have to depend on that information that these other companies are willingly giving on themselves. You have to study this information, know what it is that your competitors are doing, what is it costing them to operate. If you know what it's costing them to operate, then you know how they're going about pricing their work. Just because they pay a worker $10 an hour don't mean that they are not bidding their job for $40 an hour. So where is that $30 coming from? It's coming from taxes. It's coming from their overhead. It's coming from a whole host of things, and you need to know what those things are because in order for you to compete in that business, that's information that you just got to know.
So, Brother Bianchi, let me just ask you this, though. You know, considering all of your largesse and your obvious or your apparent comfort,
how do you evaluate the situation as it exists today? How do you think this situation is?
As far as black people is concerned?
See, the thing about the black people, white people thing is, the one thing that white people don't seem to understand, if black people were to fall off the face of this earth, they would soon follow.
We're all
connected up in this situation.
Well,
how do you evaluate the situation as it stands today?
Be truthful with your brother AC. If black folks were to fall, white folks are not going to go any place. But here, let me tell you this. As I said before, at this point in time in history, it is an ideal time for blacks, especially talking about doing. If there ain't going to be no more jobs. AC, your natural gas meter right now, when you turn on the gas, it sends a signal someplace in your community within like 200 meters of you where it records the amount of gas that you use. So guess what? A meter man don't have to come out and read your meter no more. That information is uploaded to a satellite, downloaded someplace in India where they process it. Then they upload the information back to your whatever your company is there in Chicago, and they print out the bills and put them in an envelope, put them in the mail, and send them to you. They don't put a whole bunch of folks out of business. And it ain't going to get no better. Now, here's the point, AC. Why come black folks is not capitalizing some of that business? We should have a policy to say, hey, look, we want this amount of this particular business because it is being generated by the dollars that African Americans are spending. That should be a reparation item. It should be an affirmative action reparation item. That's something that could be negotiated. Remember I said the other day, blacks ain't going to never get reparation in America because they don't have the power to leverage anything. What is it that we need that we already don't have?
Okay, so where does the power come from for black people to make demands?
What is it that you want from us that you can't get elsewhere? And one of the things that black folks have is votes. These politicians want black folks to vote for them. But black folks are not saying, look, you want our votes, we want this.
Politicians don't even control their own venue. They don't control Congress. They don't control anything. The only thing they do is accept money from the people that do.
Why did Obama make that statement about the Dream Act? Where he's going to, those Latinos, why is he courting the Latinos?
He's trying to get elected.
Right.
He's trying to get reelected.
And what is it that the Latinos wanted? They wanted to be able for their children to be able to become United States citizens. So Obama went around the Republicans. Obama and the Democrats went around the Republicans. He is issuing an executive order so it can happen. He's appeasing them. The Armenians done the same thing. The Armenians want the United States to recognize their genocide with Turkey, which occurred before the term genocide even existed, something that happened back in 1917, so that they can do what? Get reparations from Turkey. So that's where the game is played. The game is played is that it's about business. It's about money. It's about what you have that I need and what I got that you want. And we got to start playing it that way.
First of all, okay, the Dream Act, as you put it out there. President Obama can pass all of the executive orders that he wants, but what's not going to happen? Hispanics, immigrants in this country, are not going to become United States citizens until the Congress says something about it and or the Supreme Court declares that it's constitutional. The president
if they're born in the United States. Now, that's what it was all about. He said those that's born in the United States.
They're trying to repeal that situation.
Yeah, but when they appeal it, if they appeal it next in September the 1st, it starts September the 1st. They're not going to go back and say, well, January the 1st, no, it starts in September the 1st. Now, if they appeal it, I mean, they do it. But that's what they're trying to do.
It's not going to happen before the election, I promise you that. I mean, this president has been in office for almost 4 years now, and he's gotten very little to nothing accomplished for the simple reason that, you know, his power doesn't work that way. His initiatives have to be approved by the Congress and declared, and if questioned, declared constitutional by the Supreme Court. It is a three-branch government. He doesn't have the power that people think he has. He doesn't.
Well, I'm going to tell you something else, AC. Obama has done a whole bunch of stuff here in my community, and I just gave you another website, Rob, and you can go to this website. You know he talked about making things transparent. Go to that website and put in your zip code and put it on the aerial view where it shows your neighborhood. You can probably recognize some of the buildings and structures. Okay, it's going to have circles. Some circles is green, some circles are blue, and there's a purple circle. The green circles are grants. I'm sorry, the green circles are contract, the blue circles are grants, and the purple circles are loan. And when I pull up these circles, these are projects that's going on in my neighborhood. I know that they're going on. I mean, roads, money that's been given to the local.
Yeah. Oh, believe me. I mean, you know, not to cut you off, but I understand exactly what you're talking about. I mean, I'm trying to get around in all parts of the city, so I see these projects taking place, and I notice the signage. You know, I mean, I was noticing the signage when it was talking about the tar pack. I know. First of all, the state of Illinois is broke, so they can't afford to do any of the things that I'm seeing done all over at least the city of Chicago and DuPage County. You know, where I hang out, they got projects going on all over here, especially as far as construction is concerned. I see all of this stuff. So.
Listen, in the Urban League, I pulled up the Urban League, and you know, not too long ago, I might have told you about the Urban League was offering free CDL license courses. It usually cost like $350 or $500. They were doing it for free. They did it for a week.
Yeah.
But that was based on the money that came down through Obama's stimulus plan, where anybody but in our community was blacks going in there, getting their CDL license so that they can have that if they wanted to take it other places, whether driving trucks or even working on construction equipment like cranes and so forth. You got to have a CDL license, so I understand.
A lot of my partners are jumping into the limo business, so yeah, I know about the. I mean, that's not a truck driver's license, but it is a commercial driver's license. So, I'm hip to that. I know about that situation. Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that he has, because when Bush was in office, that shit wasn't going on. I can attest to that now. But and here's another point. Look at the areas where you got the most blue circles. When you go out in the white exclusive areas, you don't see no blue circle. When you come down into the black areas, you see a whole lot of blue circles with grants. These are not loans. These are grants that was given to these organizations, whether they school districts, whether they nursing homes, or whether they construction projects, where they putting in sidewalks where there never was sidewalks before. Those things are going on. And I have to, you know, I like to give credit where credit is due.
You're suggesting that he's doing some preferential things in the black neighborhood?
Hey,
that's a discussion we should table until after the brother gets elected again to another 4 years, because, I mean, you know, they'll turn, and I'm not going to disagree with you on that, because, like I said, I'm driving through black neighborhoods.
AC, when it first...
I think we discussed this last week. I mean, the renovations that they're doing on the Dan Ryan, as far as the Red Line is concerned, which is the elevated subway system that runs from the Loop to the heart of the black community. And they're talking about extending it even further to areas in the south suburbs where a lot of well-to-do African American black people are starting to migrate to settle. I mean, he's talking about extending the subway system there, so now they don't have to drive to 95th and the Dan Ryan and then catch the subway. They'll be able to leave their cars parked out in their neighborhood, which cut, you know, okay, we're going to talk about the EPA and the gas stuff of the pollution that we don't have to worry about coming into the city. That pollution stays out there. They get on the subway. They come into work. They get off the subway. They go back home. I mean, that's all extended out in the neighborhoods that are definitely absorbing a lot of well-to-do black people. So yeah, I see all of that going on, and you know, in all honesty, I'm reluctant to talk about it because I don't want people to say that he's the black president.
Well, I tell you what, go in there. I just put that. It's the Recovery Government Transparency Recipient Report. Put your zip code in there and put it on like area view. And you can click on those circles, like this one here says $18 million was gave to St. Louis Housing Authority. Well, poor people are the ones who stay in these St. Louis Housing Authority, you know, places. So that's $18 million that they use to build up stuff, you know, fix things up. That probably wouldn't have ever came down. So, you know, we can't say that, well, he did do this. And, you know, here's the funny thing. When they first came out with that, when at that time, cities and everybody was putting in their order. And I went on, I seen where this city put in this much, Pine Line, which is near me, they put in this much, and I'd be damned. I come back today and look, it's going on. They built, normally a school district built a school, a brand new school, middle school, Barack Obama middle school. And
ooh,
lo and behold, right there on that street, there's a blue circle showing that where X number of million dollars went to that project. That the people in the community, the black community, don't have to forego the cost of building that school, that amount of money. So, you know, we have to be, I mean, to be honest, and you want to teach your children to be honest, you have to give credit where credit is due, no matter who it's coming from. You know,
I agree with that. I agree with that. You know, I mean, you know, whether it be a conspiracy or an actual attack, I had to give George Bush credit for rallying the American people after 9/11. I mean, you know, it was a catastrophic event. I don't want to get into why it happened or anything like that. The fact of the matter is, it happened, and all of these people died. And you know, although it was short-lived. Depending on how you want to pronounce it. Although it was short-lived, there was a period of time there, very brief, I might add, there was a period of time there when I felt the sense that this country was united on something. And like I said, I've been around here for, almost 60 years now, and I've never felt that before.
We're getting ready to go off in about 3 minutes. But, hey, Rob, did you get that other website? Where did he go?
Chef Rob, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I was looking at that website, man. I was looking at that website and looking at over here where I live.
Oh, okay.
The companies got grants and stuff.
You got any blue circles where you live?
Yeah.
Oh, that's money that was getting, the blue circles is the grants. They just grant it to you. You ain't got to pay it back. So apparently stuff going on in your neighborhood.
Rob, punch in the 60. Chef Rob, punch in 60162 and see what's going on there. You know, although it's not a predominantly black neighborhood, but I just like to know, you know, how they treat the people over there. There are some of us in that neighborhood, after all. Me. We'll wait for him to come back with that information.
There's a few grants in your neighborhood too.
Okay.
Let me see, Hillside District. Let me see, yeah, there's a few of them.
Okay.
You got money at the Illinois Department of Transportation. That must be a Highwood. That the what? Bellwood Village or Bellwood?
Hillside. Close enough.
here you got something at Hillside Village.
And the school district, the school district's got about $3 million.
Is that okay? You got elementary, middle, and high school. Which one are they talking about? District 89 is the high school.
District 93.
I'm talking about all of them together.
Okay. That's a good thing. Okay. Well, like I said, I would suggest that
you stay out there with all the rich folks. Y'all don't get much money. You probably live.
I wouldn't say we're close to the rich folks.
Uh-huh.
I'll put it that way.
You don't gave yourself
we're
away.
We're close to the rich folks.
Y'all ain't get much money out here. Look at them big old houses there. Look at them big old houses there. Them mansions, man. Swimming pool.
No mansions. I live comfortably. And I don't live exquisitely.
Is that a swimming pool or the ocean?
I live comfortably. I accept comfort. So, you know. Yeah, but I just wanted to know that we were getting something out of the deal since I am sitting out there, and there seem to be more brothers and sisters, not a lot, but there seem to be more brothers and sisters moving in. So, I just wanted to make sure that we were getting something out of the deal. I know all of the expressway situations that surround my neighborhood. Oh, they doing the damn thing. You're working construction. You love this stuff up here. But like I said, I'd be reluctant to let people know that he was actually doing something for black people in the black neighborhood because, I know that's not what they want to happen. I believe that that's not what they want to happen. I can't say that I know because I haven't been privy to their files. But I believe that, they benefit. And, when I say they, who I'm talking about.
Cook County.
Believe that they benefit from the downtrodden situation that our people
Well, yeah,
live
they
in.
Do. Cook County School District 88 got like almost $4 million. Over $4 million, really.
Okay. Is that my elementary school district, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly? Because I grew up in this area here. And they got $4 million, but recently, and see, this is the situation. If it's the district that I'm thinking of, my elementary school, because if I'm not mistaken, my high school district is 89. Cook County District 89. That's the high school.
Yeah.
Well, 88, I think that's one of either the middle schools or the elementary school districts around here. And recently, the township people who basically control that money were accused of malfeasance, and you know the story. You know, brothers, sisters, taking money that was meant for something else and doing what they feel like doing with it is. I'm so tired of hearing that story. You put us in charge. And instead of doing what's right by the money, because your people have been suffering for so long.
How about the provisional area for children?
Proviso. Proviso. Yeah, right.
They
right,
got $4.8 million.
Okay. I like that. That's money in the hood. Okay. As a matter of fact.
The Alliance to End Homelessness.
Let me make it a point to get in touch with some of these people in the very near future
How about the Alliance to End Homelessness? You know that they got
The Alliance to End Homelessness in my zip code?
Yes, sir. They got 1.5.
I'm sitting in comfort out here. I'm not in front of a computer screen. I guess I'm going to have to start doing that, huh? What are some of the associations involved in that alliance? Is it like the Proviso Leiden Council for Community Action? Would that be one of them?
No, Proviso is a whole different amount of money. That's separate.
Okay.
That's 1.5 for the alliance. Proviso got 4.8. So you got a lot of money being spent around that neighborhood of yours, man.
Hey, Chef Rob has some things that he was talking about doing. Maybe I should go get. I know these people out here, so
I told you, man. Look, hold on. I'm trying to get this foundation going right so I can teach young people about agriculture.
Exactly.
I can teach you
a
little bit about it, but I can teach you more about how to cook it. So getting from the ground to the table is what my focus on. I just need more support by going in ground.
And it wouldn't be a bad idea for you to have a healthy, fresh source for your fruits and vegetables.
Exactly.
Right?
I know you,
Chef. I know what you're trying to do. And like I said, I've been reluctant. I'm trying to stay hidden here. I've been reluctant to become involved with these people, but I know I got the contacts. I mean, because I've operated my life the way I operate my life, there are a lot of people who trust me. Because I don't do the malfeasance thing. I don't do the theft thing. I've tried to maintain that type of situation in my life. I mean, if I get involved in a business, I'm involved in it for the benefit of everyone concerned, not just my benefit. And that's held me in good stead with a lot of people in this community. And so, like I said, maybe I will start branching out and talking to these people to see if we can come up with something, Chef Rob. Like I said, I know the people.
I told you, man, that's what we need to do.
I know them. Yeah.
I'm going to get on that for you and get back to you.
Huh?
Yeah, I got a little bit more time left, so what I want to do is I'm going to close out the show. Look, Brother Pianki, you got any final words?
The Veteran Construction Solutions, they got $6.7 million. Man, look at all this money that AC and them getting over here, man. We're going to have to have a show on this.
Stop hating on my money, man. Come on. I mean, since the money is here. I'm going to research that situation. But let me say in closing, Brother Pianki, I'm going to check your facts for myself here. And of course, if what you say rings true, then the next time we talk, I will be somewhat apologetic. Of course, if what you're saying leads in the other direction,
we're going to have a heated, interesting conversation
the next time I talk to you.
If it's true, this is what I want you to do. Go out and teach a young person.
Oh, that's going to happen anyway, brother. That's going to happen anyway.
All right, okay, then. All right, well,
is that it for us, Rob? We got more time, or what's the deal?
We only got a little bit more time left. I want to go ahead and close out with a tribute to Michael Jackson.
My tribute to Michael Jackson. Oh, you playing music?
Yeah, brother.
Do the damn thing, man. I ain't mad at Mike.
All right, brother. We're going
to
go ahead and do this again
Pianki.
Tomorrow. Can y'all make
it? All right, I'll see y'all later.
Peace to you, brother Pianki.
All right, peace to you, too.
Peace, AC. See you tomorrow.
Okay, you know the deal, man.
All right, man.
Was made with a trial version of Mixmeister. You can remove this message by buying the full version. This mix was made with a trial version of Mixmeister.